My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome in. It is a Saturday edition of Overtime here on The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up until 7 o'clock. Got plenty to talk about on this very, very hot Saturday in the District of Columbia. I want to talk about what Terry McLaurin had to say with Scott Van Pelt the other day on SportsCenter. I want to talk about Alex Saar, according to Jonathan Giovanni of Draft Express on ESPN, saying that Alex Saar is a lock at number 2 for the Wizards. We'll talk about that. Also get you ready for Nationals and Rockies coming up later this evening right here on The Fan. We'll start with Dan Quinn here in just a second, but had the opportunity this morning to go over and check out the barbecue battle over on Pennsylvania Avenue. So I had some ribs this morning, Max. I had a brisket sandwich. I was wearing my hot dog hat over to the studio. We're locked in today. We're locked in.
We're dogged up today, baby.
Yeah, and dude, it was hot, hot. God. It is hot. Let me tell you, though, if you don't have the chance, or if you haven't had the chance and you haven't done it yet, that's the first time I've ever been over to that barbecue battle. That was cool. That was really cool.
I haven't gotten a chance to, but I hear it's a good time and with great food, too.
Yeah, awesome food. Enjoyed some ribs, like I said, a brisket sandwich. And if I didn't have to come over here, I'd probably still be over there and probably would have eaten another half rack of ribs and who knows what else.
Another trip to through that sample line, huh?
Yeah, it would have been, I would have had trouble getting home by, you know, just walking in that heat, too, getting the meat sweats.
Oh, yeah. End up falling asleep on the train home.
Yeah, it could have been a little bit miserable. So maybe it's a good thing I had to come over here and hang out in some air conditioning back in the studio. But, you know, it was a good time. So if you have a chance, I think it's going on tonight until like 9 o'clock. I think it's tomorrow 11 to 7. So make sure you check that out if you get the opportunity. But I want to start with Dan Quinn because, you know, now we've had some time now since he was hired. We've seen him talk at the microphone. We've heard him. We've, you know, seen some of his practices. We're getting, you know, about a month away from training camp. So we're kind of accustomed to Dan Quinn at least a little bit. We haven't seen him coach an actual football game yet. So I understand that there are still some things that we're feeling out and still getting accustomed to him as the coach of the Commanders. But when you think back to when he was hired, a bunch of people, myself included, that was not their first choice. Max, to your credit, you said all along that Dan Quinn was your guy.
That's right, baby.
And you won out, so credit to you there. But, you know, you think back to that Cowboys and Packers playoff game, to me, like, that was like, okay, I definitely don't want this guy now after you get embarrassed in a playoff game like that. But has your opinion changed of Dan Quinn since then? Because, like we said, we went through the whole Ben Johnson saga. We went through a bunch of other names and different people that you'd want. I was looking at like a Bobby Slowick. Anybody, Dan Quinn was like, most people, he was not on their, really in their top three. And I don't even know, and we won't know for years or maybe ever, I don't know if he was on Adam Peters' top two or three. But he's the head coach of the Washington Commanders. And initial thoughts for a lot of fans, it was like, oh, they settled. When you think about the process that everything happened, oh, he wasn't their first choice. They clearly settled. Not a big fan of this. You know, people were even saying, oh, defensive head coach that isn't going to call plays. Oh, that's Ron Rivera 2.0. And I think what we've seen just in the time frame since he's been hired, it's not Ron Rivera, one. The energy around the building, the professionalism of the football team, it's not Ron Rivera 2.0. But has your opinion changed? You know, because it seems like when he was first hired, most people were against it. Now, I don't get that sense. And I think we're starting to see why, you know, Dan Quinn was the choice. Now that we've gone past this whole saga, you know, they moved on from the whole coaching staff. So they bring in Dan Quinn. I don't know that Anthony Lynn's here without Dan Quinn. Obviously, Joe Witt Jr. is probably not here without Dan Quinn. I don't know what happens with the offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury. You know, you can go down the line. There's a lot of people that aren't here if it weren't for Dan Quinn on the coaching staff. You look on the team. I don't think Bobby Wagner's here without Dan Quinn. Maybe Frankie Louvu fits in there as well. Like, there are a bunch of people, Tyler Biotish. There are a bunch of people that came to D.C. because of Dan Quinn. And so has your opinion changed of DQ in the time frame that he's been the head coach? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. Because to me, he wasn't my first choice. I wasn't as far on the side as some people that it had to be an offensive guy. But I preferred an offensive guy. You know, I wanted someone, and we're going to talk about Cliff Kingsbury a little bit more later on, because I actually, now that we've gotten a little further away from that as well, I kind of like that hire as well. But specifically with Dan Quinn, I was thinking I'd rather have an offensive mind to pair with the number two overall pick, and essentially, you can have those guys, hopefully both of them working and being the right decision, you can have those guys working together for 15-plus years, and you never have to worry about a different play caller, you never have to worry about a different quarterback, and you're kind of set up for the next decade and a half and hopefully a couple of Super Bowls in that time frame. That's what I was hoping for. Not to say that a defensive coach can't have that, but we've already seen, you know, defensive head coaches get a job, and then they have some hotshot offensive coordinator that calls the plays and does a really good job, and next thing you know, that offensive coordinator's gone, and the offense isn't the same after that. You think about Buffalo with Sean McDermott, and he's a really good coach, in my opinion, but he doesn't call the plays on the offensive side. He's a defensive guy. They lose Brian Daboll, and they really haven't been that same team, it feels like, since. They've been searching. Even though they've been to some big high-profile games, like they move on from Dorsey, they go with Joe Brady. Like they've tried all types of different stuff to figure out that offense ever since Daboll left. And so you don't want to have that happen, especially when you've got a young quarterback that you felt like you could pair up with an offensive mind for a long time and feel good about it. Well, they ultimately go with Dan Quinn. And like I said, when we were, you know, we talked about this obviously extensively when he was hired, and the general consensus to me was, eh, or I don't like it. If you had to rate it on like a 1 to 10 scale, a lot of people were at 4s and 3s and 2s, and they just weren't big fans of it. And I don't know that anybody was like, oh, I don't like Dan Quinn. It was more so you liked other options. But now that you've seen what he's done in his time frame here, I think you can see a lot of the reasons why he was such an attractive hire. He's clearly a great leader, and that's evident. Anytime you hear him talk, anytime you hear guys talk about him, he is a great leader. People want to play for this guy, and he's a hard worker. He's someone that's going to captivate a room. He's someone that's going to bring people together. And he's someone that clearly influences a large number of men, because they wouldn't, like I said, a lot of people wouldn't be here if it weren't for Dan Quinn. So when I think about, just personally for me, you know, with Dan Quinn, wasn't necessarily a fan of the hire. He wasn't in my top three. I was looking at a Ben Johnson. I was looking at maybe even a Bobby Slowick, and I can't remember who my third option was, but it wasn't Dan Quinn. When I look at him now, I'm kind of on board with it. I'm kind of on board with what he's selling. Now, again, we haven't seen him strap up a helmet yet and play football. So, you know, this all could change when we get to September and, you know, if the defense isn't doing its job and various things. And, yeah, it can change because, frankly, I was on board with Bieniemy last year and we saw how that went. So there's no guarantee that this guy is going to be able to get the job done. But I think the atmosphere in the building, just the professionalism that you see from this football team, the energy, the exuberance, I think you see it matching something that it never did under Rivera because the head coach is willing to put in that work and he brings that energy to the practice field every single day. And so I kind of like it now. I'm kind of a big fan of Quinn. Like, all the stuff that we were being sold on before, I wouldn't say I was skeptical, but I wasn't like, oh, okay, that's going to win me over. That's what I want. I kind of wanted the genius. I kind of wanted, you know, the guy that's X's and O's and the Wonder Kid Sean McVay style. Like, that's what I wanted. I wasn't as worried about this leader of men stuff that we talk about, the great communicator and leader overall. I wasn't as worried about that stuff because to me you could find that with captains of teams, with coordinators and guys on the team. But now that I've seen Dan Quinn go to work and see what he can do, he's kind of won me over. Credit to you, Max. You were all over this.
Well, I think one big thing about the Quinn hire is like a lot of people around here weren't big fans of it, but people around the league loved the hire. Like, and when the news broke, people around the league were like, this is a great hire, this is a great hire, this is the guy. So I think that says a lot more, and I think he's showing why that is.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a love figure, and I think you can just see by the people that want to come to D.C., you know, I think he works perfectly, too, with Adam Peters, because I think Dan Quinn understands that he just needs to be the head coach. He doesn't need to try to be the personnel guy. Like, you know, if you watch that Commanders log where he's working alongside Adam Peters in the draft room, they're sitting next to each other. But Peters is the one kind of leading the thing, and he's in charge. And so I think it honestly works perfectly because you've got a veteran head coach who's done this before, and a lot of times when you go and get a veteran head coach, say they would have gone after a Bill Belichick, Bill Belichick's going to want to come in here with his 26-year-old girlfriend or however old she is, and he's going to want to have say in personnel decisions. Not to say that Dan Quinn doesn't have any say, but he's going to want to really, really be involved in that process versus you've got a first-time executive who's, I don't know you'd say he's feeling it out, but he's making his mark. And he's going to come out and make the decisions. Dan Quinn's going to come out and coach the football team, and they'll intersect when they need to, but for the most part, they understand they've got separate jobs. They work together when they need to, but for the most part, they work separately. And I like that. I like that because when you get a veteran coach, generally that isn't going to be the case, especially someone that's had success. Like, as much as we like to hate on the Dan Quinn hire at the time, Dan Quinn went to a Super Bowl, which is something that, you know, the coaches here hadn't been able to say for quite some time. So I think it's interesting when you look at the initial perspective of the Dan Quinn hire versus where we're at now. I think a lot of people have changed their minds. What about you, though? 800-636-1067, the MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. Has your opinion of Dan Quinn changed since he was hired? Also, we'll get into the rest of the coaching staff because, frankly, I wasn't a fan of Cliff Kingsbury being hired and some of the other guys, but I think I'm starting to come around. Maybe it's a little Ashburn syndrome, but I also have some reasons why I like it. We'll talk about it next here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's Overtime on the Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 7 o'clock. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at any point during the show. We'll talk a little bit about Terry McLaurin coming up in just a little bit. But right now we're talking about Dan Quinn, Mr. Backwards Hat himself. Which, did you read the piece in the Washington Post? I thought that was interesting about Dan Quinn wearing his hat backwards. And he's just kind of a loose, fun, free guy. And Sam Cosmi throws out that last year Eric Bieniemy wouldn't let them wear their hats backwards in the building.
We're rocking it backwards all summer, Toby.
I love it. And then I heard Doc's perspective. I thought that was interesting. Which, hey, man, Doc understands better than all of us. If you're playing winning football, that's all that matters. They weren't playing winning football. There's two sides to it. You're not playing winning football. You're trying to teach them to be professional. I don't know. If you want to wear your hat backwards in the building, you can wear your hat backwards.
It's a crazy control freak, like overly hard-o football guy move, and it was just off-putting.
That stuff works when you're winning.
Right.
Because you think about one thing that they talk about with Belichick that I think is interesting, and you have to find that healthy medium. Everyone thinks that Belichick is just this, you know, tyrant, dictator-type guy, but you ask people that played under Belichick, like, he lets you be yourself. Like, you think about some of the characters that have played under Belichick and been successful.
Lawrence Taylor.
Rob Gronkowski. Like, Gronk is nuts. Like, Gronk is crazy. And yet, he was successful under Bill Belichick, and it worked out fine. Now, were there some pains, and did he always get along? No. I mean, it's similar to, you know, Brady and Belichick didn't get along. But it is what it is. The success speaks for itself. It's one of those things, though, if you're going to lose football games, produce poor results on the field, and expect ridiculous things off the field, just not going to go well for you.
Say what you will about Aaron Hernandez. He won football games.
All right, no comment. So, back to Dan Quinn. When you think about when he was first hired, most people were not on board with it. It was an underwhelming hire in a lot of ways. Most people looked at it as, all right, they got stuck. I mean, remember, we're seeing Nikki Javala post a picture of him at Dulles flying back from the interview. Not some private jet. And at that point, we took it as, all right, they clearly are in on someone else. They want someone else. But Dan Quinn was fired up. And it ultimately ends up being Dan Quinn. And I think a lot of people looked at it as, oh, man, contingency plan. And that's kind of how I viewed it. So I wasn't fully on board. But now you look at what he's done, and I think the big part here is this. It's honestly less about the actual coaching and less about the actual on-field performance because we haven't seen that yet. But a big reason why I really like the hire is the respectability that it brought, like you mentioned, nationally. And part of it is, people want to come work with him and play for him because look at the staff that this team put together. Look at the free agency period. And I know there's no big, big names. You know, Bobby Wagner is not Bobby Wagner from the Seahawks 5 years ago where he was arguably the best middle linebacker in football. Like, I understand that some of the guys that were signed here, you know, they're not marquee free agents. But when you look at the totality of the turnover and the names that get brought over as a part of this, how many of them are here without Dan Quinn versus how many of them here just because of Dan Quinn? Like, I think Biadasz, he talked about, I wanted to come play with DQ again. Bobby Wagner. You go down the coaching list and look at the respectable guys that they were able to bring over here. And, you know, you think about the experience on this coaching staff where Cliff Kingsbury was a head coach. Anthony Lynn was a head coach. And when you take some of the responsibility of being a head coach off some of these guys' plates and allow them to focus solely on something that they're clearly good at because they got a head coaching gig in the first place, I'm interested to see what they can become. Because part of the issue for Cliff Kingsbury is when you're an offensive guy, and this is, frankly, a big part of why sometimes these offensive gurus and offensive guys, and we'll get into Cliff Kingsbury in the next segment because I don't necessarily love his system or anything, but I do like that hire. But when you think about some of these offensive gurus that have gotten jobs, you think about Ben Johnson turning down a job multiple times. Part of the reason those guys can struggle at times is they're no longer just the offensive coordinator. They're not spending time just working through what the offensive game plan is going to be. They're not spending time just getting their call sheet in order. They're doing that on top of figuring out what they're doing for the entire team, figuring out what they're going to say in the meeting room. And that's preparation. That's a lot of extra stuff on their plate. Now you think about Cliff Kingsbury stepping back into a role where he's only the offensive coordinator. He doesn't have to worry about addressing the entire team. He's just worried about the offense. He doesn't have to worry about motivating the defense and making sure he's on the same page with the defensive coordinator because he's just running the offense. You think about Anthony Lynn, where he was a head coach, and now he's going back to just strictly being a running backs coach and assistant offensive coordinator, I think is what his official role is, whatever it is. Either way, he goes into a role now where he can focus on something that he clearly understands working with these running backs. So I'm interested to see what those guys can do. And I don't know. Kingsbury's different because I don't know what his, I don't know what job offers he had. You know, last year he was working at USC as like an offensive analyst. To me, he was probably just hanging around Lincoln Riley and giving bits and pieces here and helping out alongside Caleb Williams as he was getting ready to go to the pros. So I don't know what his, you know, what his track was going to be, but I don't know that Anthony Lynn, Brian Johnson, Joe Witt Jr., there are a long list of names that aren't here without Dan Quinn, and I think it's impressive. And so part of the reason you hire a Dan Quinn, especially as a new regime, especially as a new ownership group, frankly, as much as last year was their first year, really this year is their first year. What were they going to do, fire Ron? They couldn't fire Ron right before training camp. And what coach is going to walk in here with that little time to prepare? So I think it was a smart decision for what they did, because frankly, what they used last year as was an evaluation period on everyone. And we can see now what evaluations they made and they liked and which ones they didn't. Because guess who's still in the organization that I don't think a lot of people thought would still be there? Jason Wright. They had a chance to evaluate him. He stuck around. They had a chance to evaluate, obviously, Ron Rivera. He's not around. But a guy like a Martin Mayhew, I know a lot of people aren't huge fans that he's still around, but Adam Peters came in. He kept him around. Like, they had full chances to evaluate a lot of these guys. They moved on from the coaching staff. They moved on from a lot of the front office. They moved on from a lot of people. Now you're getting a chance to really bring in the new generation, the new Commanders. This is a chance to really stamp the Harris ownership group onto something. And so they bring in the top executive in the market, Adam Peters. They bring in a guy in Dan Quinn that, yes, is a good football coach. I don't think there's any doubt about it. He's a good defensive coordinator. There are some limitations at times, but he's a good defensive coordinator. He's run good defenses for different teams multiple times. Like, it's not something where he's a flash in the pan. And not only that, he's respected league-wide to the point that everyone is going to be, they're going to give the Commanders more of the benefit of the doubt. And I don't think that the Harris ownership group is out there just making moves for goodwill either. They're not just hiring Dan Quinn because it's going to help them save face and it's going to make them look better in the media when they're going 5-12. Like, no, I don't think that's why they hired Dan Quinn. You know, maybe he wasn't their first choice, but still, they hire a Dan Quinn because they believe in him as a leader and a football coach. And in turn, when you hire him as the leader, that's how you end up with as good of a organization put together now as anybody. Now, it's got to lead to wins on the football field. There's no doubt about it. That's the ultimate thing. But when you look at the respectability of the coaching staff, you look at the free agency period that they went through, you looked at the NFL draft that they went through, and I get that's not all on Dan Quinn's plate, but I think you look at all that they've done, you've gone from an organization that every single decision they made previously was questioned as, well, it's still Washington, so what are we missing here? Or are we wrong on this guy that Washington took him? Or you go previous drafts, and Washington is drafting dudes in the first round that probably had a second round grade, or they're drafting them at 16 when they're probably a 30th overall type player. You know, they're just reaching and doing this different stuff. And instead this year, what do you get? You get praise for the free agent signings. You get praise for the draft class. And it's not just because they went out and signed these guys out of goodwill. It's because they're actually doing a pretty freaking good job. And so I'm excited to see what he can do, because seeing him interact with the guys, seeing his interactions, you know, out on the practice field, and hearing how guys talk about him and the unity that is there versus what you heard last year, it's clear that there was a disconnect. You hear Brian Robinson a couple of months ago basically say that there was that disconnect between the coaching staff and the players. It doesn't feel like that's there anymore. And I understand one is an authority figure, one is, you know, trying to help the other, but you also need the players and coaches to be on the same page, and they need to be coachable. You know, you think about a Bobby Wagner going to a Joe Witt Jr. and helping him out here and there. I think that they understand that to be their best, they have to get full buy-in from the players. And so what they've done is they've created a good relationship with these guys. You talk about Terry McLaurin. We're going to hear from him a little bit later. And he talked about how, you know, some of the first messages from Dan Quinn weren't about the X's and O's and, hey, we're going to play hard-nosed football, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. It really had less to do with football and more about the relationships in that building. And that's something that I don't know that anyone had before, was really relationships in that building. People weren't close to each other over there, especially when you think about the coaches, the players. Now it's about building that relationship so I can coach you harder and get the best out of you. And I think that's what you get with Dan Quinn. And so when I think about that hire now versus what I felt when he was hired, at first I didn't like it. Because like I said, I wanted the wonder kid, I wanted the X's and O's guy. Not to say that Dan Quinn's bad at that stuff, but that's not his calling card. His calling card is he's a great leader and he can get guys on the same page and motivate a group of men. I was like, eh, we can find that. Now that you see what all has happened, I don't know how you could not be thrilled with the Dan Quinn hire. Maybe it changes when the football actually starts, but in terms of what has happened this offseason, how much of that can be associated to the hiring of a Dan Quinn? And I think he deserves a lot of credit as a guy that can motivate and lead a good organization. And hopefully, you know, he can go back to a Super Bowl like he did with the Falcons and win this time. And to be honest with you, yes, they scored a lot of points to come back from 28-3, but doggone if Kyle Shanahan shouldn't have had a better offensive game plan in the second half. Like, he should be a Super Bowl champion head coach. He was right there. So I'm interested to see, you know, people forget about that stuff. People like to dismiss that stuff. Even I did some of that. But now you look at where they're at. Hopefully you can get them back there. I think down the road, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time to build this thing. You know, you look at the team and, you know, maybe in a couple of weeks or sometime, we'll have to look at like how many of these guys are actually building blocks, because you think about the Bobby Wagners that they've brought in, some of these other guys, some of these older veterans. I don't know that they're sticking around when this team is actually a Super Bowl contender, because it's not going to be this year. It's probably not going to be next year. But who knows? If Jaden Daniels comes out, sets the world on fire, similar to Stroud last year as the number two overall pick, I don't know that anyone's saying the Texans are Super Bowl contenders yet, but they're right there on the outside looking in. They're right there. They're knocking on the door. And so I think this thing can get turned around. And when you've got, you know, the most important thing to me was the executive. Who do you bring in as the general manager? Because you need a clear structure. And that's what I appreciate so much about this offseason, even more so than hiring a Dan Quinn, is understanding the correct, the proper organizational structure to build a football team and really build any sports organization. You have the owner, you have the general manager, and the general manager reports to the owner, and then you have the coach under the general manager, and the coach reports to the general manager, hopefully not to the owner, right? Like, You don't want to undermine some of this stuff. And then you have the players. But the general manager's picking the coach. The general manager's picking the players. Because when you have a coach and general manager and one, you can't look into the future. Because you're coaching the guys. And so you end up messing stuff up. You're not willing to help develop guys because you need to think about just the now. So I think the big part of this offseason was the hire of Adam Peters. And I think in general, everyone was on board with Adam Peters. And I don't think anything that he's done this offseason is going to change that. Do you agree with every move? I don't agree with every move because I still think they should have addressed offensive line a little bit better. I've talked about that ad nauseum. But in general, I've been on board with just about everything Adam Peters has done. And my opinion of him really has not changed at all because when he was hired, it was a 10 out of 10 hire, and I still feel that way. But when I think about the head coaching hire with Dan Quinn, I would have given it a 3 or a 4. I'm not going to give it a 10, but I think it's an 8, a 7 or an 8, maybe even a 9. Because this guy has changed so much about this organization in terms of the player-to-coach communication and just the cohesion in that building is so much more different. You know, Ron loved to use the buzzword culture all the time, talking about the football team and building the culture. The culture sucked over there, frankly. Now, and again, I know every time I talk about this stuff, I hear my uncle who's always talking to me about stuff. I hear Doc in my ear. I hear people like that saying they haven't even thrown pads on yet. They haven't even played football. And I understand. You know, if all this stuff is great and they come out and they suck and win 3 football games, then we're going to feel totally different. But they can't change the fact that they haven't played yet. Everything that I've seen so far has won me over with Dan Quinn, and I'm excited to see what they can do on the field because all the stuff that we've seen leading up to this generally leads to success on the football field. And it might not be something this year where they're winning 12, 13 games. We understand that. That's more so a byproduct of the roster not being up to snuff versus the coaching staff and everything else. Really, the roster not being up to snuff isn't even the front office's fault yet because it's the previous front office's fault. Like, I didn't think that the team was horrible last year. I know they were the second worst team in football in terms of record, but I didn't think they were awful. I thought you change a couple pieces here or there, you know, 5, 6, 7 guys. I was wrong about that. Adam Peters stepped in and changed half the team. So this is a work in progress, but everything I've seen so far looks like steps. And the thing that you can appreciate about what they've done this offseason is they're not taking the get-rich-quick approach. They're not trying the little flash-in-the-pan approach. They're trying to build something so that, like you've seen where Adam Peters came from the 49ers, like you can see year in, year out, every single year when we talk about the NFC, who do we talk about? We talk about the 49ers. We talk about X, right? We talk about these teams where they've built. And usually
Green Bay.
Yeah, Green Bay. Some of these other teams, they've built to being at that point. Washington, if they wanted, they could have maybe gone out and got an Aaron Rodgers a couple years ago, and they could have built something that they could have won, you know, and got into a playoff spot. They could have done that. They want to build long-term success here. And hopefully Jaden Daniels is the right guy. Hopefully Dan Quinn is the right guy. But everything I've seen so far leads me to believe that they're going in the right direction to build a sustainable winner. And I think that's what gives you so much encouragement of this offseason. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Has your opinion of Dan Quinn changed since he was hired? I also want to get into some of the other coaches, specifically Cliff Kingsbury, was not a fan of that hire at the time. Starting to come around on that. I'll tell you why next here on The Fan. About the Commanders head coach, Dan Quinn. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also tweet at me at @Toby_Altizer. Has your opinion changed of Dan Quinn since he was hired or any of the coaching staff since they were hired? 800-636-1067. Let's get out to the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Mitch is in New Jersey. Mitch, what's going on?
How you doing, Toby? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, what's going on, Mitch?
It is. So it's going so fast. Game 1 be here before you know it.
I know. Crazy.
I'm going on to Mr. Quinn. Remember, I think it was Shanahan kind of lost that Super Bowl, and plus he also went on to lose two more to Mahomes. I like Cliff. I would love to see an offensive guy because Washington's got a good set of running backs, especially, and they got themselves a quarterback. I think these guys for real. Looking forward to it. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think with Quinn, you know, I'm interested to see how he does in his first year with the team. But I think, like I said in the previous segment, that they're building something here and they've done a really good job of working on some of that cohesion. But one of the things that stands out to me is the number of guys that have respectability to them that they've brought over. And I laid that out previously. But you talk about Cliff Kingsbury. And he's an interesting hire because of the guys that they brought in, like an Anthony Lynn on board 100% in the role that he's brought in. Brian Johnson to help out with the quarterbacks, love it. Joe Witt Jr. coming over from Dallas with Quinn, love it. Like so much of the stuff I'm big on. When I heard who the offensive coordinator was going to be, is very similar to the Dan Quinn reaction for me, almost a little bit worse than the Quinn reaction because Quinn, to me, had like won some stuff. When I think of Kingsbury and think about what happened in Arizona, I kind of always thought they were a bit of a joke. Now, they would get off to some hot starts. They would get some things going. But at the same point, they would never win anything. They were like the first half Super Bowl winners, but they never did anything in the second half. And some of that's, you know, Kyler Murray and what he was able to do and various things. Not to say they didn't ever have any success. Like, I remember watching, I believe it was a Thursday night game while I was covering the Packers out in Milwaukee, and they were playing the Cardinals, and the Cardinals at that point were like 6-7-0. So it's not to say that they had no success, but I just wasn't a fan. And I didn't necessarily like Cliff Kingsbury's offense in Arizona. It just was underwhelming to me. But to me, a big part of this, when you think about hiring a defensive coach, is you need to find an offensive guy that isn't going to leave you right away, right? It's a big part of why when you hire that defensive guy, that offensive coordinator spot now becomes the most important spot on the coaching staff. Who are you going to hire that can come in and work with your new quarterback? You're especially thinking when you've got a rookie quarterback coming in. Who can you hire to bring in that can help out the quarterback, that can be a good mentor, a good developer? But also, you don't want them to just leave after 1 year. Like, the Texans got lucky in a little bit, in a couple of ways, in that they bring DeMeco Ryans in, and he does a fantastic job in his first year as head coach. And they have a young offensive coordinator in Bobby Slowick, but he just didn't feel like he was ready to be a head coach yet, or he wasn't viewed as being 100% ready to be a head coach yet. And so now they're going to have the benefit of at least the first 2 years of C.J. Stroud's career being with the same offensive coordinator. You can try to go get some other young guy from an organization or promote from within or whatever to be the offensive coordinator with Jaden Daniels, but you would run the risk of losing a guy. And when you think about Cliff Kingsbury and his track record is that he can help develop quarterbacks. Now, I'd argue that some of those quarterbacks that we like to throw under Cliff Kingsbury were developed more under other coaches. But regardless, I think with Cliff Kingsbury, you get a guy that was a former quarterback, can work with quarterbacks. And when I was out there at mini camps, he was working directly with the quarterbacks. He wasn't just, you know, obviously he's coordinating the whole offense, but specifically when the rest of the team is going through warm-ups and get everything, and they're having quarterbacks do their own specific thing, who's running all that stuff, and right there in their ear is as Cliff Kingsbury. So he's clearly going to be very, very involved with the quarterbacks, and then maybe that's also why you bring in a guy like an Anthony Lynn, so that Cliff Kingsbury can be a little bit more focused on strictly the quarterbacks and let some of the other people handle everything else that's going on. But he's going to help develop Jaden Daniels. And the other thing, too, they can have a really good offense this year, Max. You know, I'm not saying anything crazy like top five, but say they have a top 12 offense or something like that with Jaden Daniels in his rookie year. I don't think Cliff's getting a head coaching job anywhere. Not to say maybe he doesn't get at least talked about a little bit, but Ben Johnson's still on the top of that list. Some other guys, like say Bobby Slowick has another good year in Houston. I think he's above Cliff Kingsbury. People are going to want to try some of these guys for the first time versus going back to the quote-unquote retread of Cliff Kingsbury. And so I think one thing that is good about this hire, and really, frankly, the one thing that would be worrying at least a little bit, is it has, to me, nothing to do with his actual offense, is the fact that he's not going to be gone. There's going to be continuity, in my opinion, at least, for the first 2 years of Jaden Daniels' career. He's going to have the same offensive coordinator. He's going to have the same system in place. And hopefully, he can work with some of these receivers and some of these weapons and specifically some of these young guys and get them integrated in the offense, and you have at least a little bit of continuity for Jaden Daniels. Because you want to know something that could be just horrible for some of these people? Think about Matt Eberflus being kept over in Chicago, and what happens if they suck again this year and they fire Eberflus and the whole staff. Caleb Williams in a second offense in 2 years, really his third and three, because you have to go back from learning a whole new offense from college to the NFL. So a third and three. Versus if you're Jaden Daniels, you're coming in here, you're working hard to know a system. He doesn't have to do that same sort of thing the next year. Instead, he's building off of what he did the previous year, building off of what he did his rookie year going into the following year with this system. Not to say that it's any better second to third year having to turn over and learn a new system, but it's at least a little bit easier because then you have some continuity from your first to second year. You're starting to understand stuff at the pro level a little bit better. You know, that transition from college to the NFL is a big one. It's a big one. And it's not just on the field, it's off the field. It's learning the system. It's learning the cadences. His offseason between his rookie and second year, he's going to take so much, he's going to learn so much more and be able to dive so much deeper because he's going to have an understanding that he didn't have stepping into this year. And it has nothing to do with Jaden Daniels and being a bad quarterback or anything. It's just, you learn so much when you've finally gone through it one time. And so I think you look at the guys like a C.J. Stroud, even a Bryce Young. I think Bryce Young could have a solid year this year because he's going to be able to build off of all the bad that happened last year, but he's going to be able to take that next step. You look at Stroud. He was good last year. Imagine what he can do this year when he understands how defenses started playing him and little tweaks he needs to make here and different things that he can learn deeper into the playbook, more stuff they can throw on his plate. I like the fact that there's going to be some continuity for Jaden Daniels from his first to second year with Cliff Kingsbury. 800-636-1067. Let's get out to the phone lines. Let's get out to Jim, who is in Tysons. Jim, what's going on?
Well, first of all, I love your program. I think you do a fantastic job.
Thanks, Jim.
I think from my perspective, we have no idea. We're going to have our second consecutive head coach who took a team to a Super Bowl, which is, you know, no one can compare, I think, Ron, to what we have now. But I'm just saying we have a offensive coordinator who people aren't coming in really raving about the talents. They're talking about different things. I heard you mention about developing quarterbacks, but we really have no idea what we're going to get there. And honestly, you know, one thing, and maybe you know this answer, is one thing that I'm always fascinated about on the drafting from Adams Peters' position and other general managers is what percentage of top five, like what first five, fifth rounders and up, what percentage of those drafts just league-wide are on the team after 3 years? Because I've heard a lot of folks talk about what he's added and all the things, but we've lost things too. We've lost things through free agency. We lost a receiver. We lost an excellent defensive lineman, Chase Young, who was really unanimous decision many years ago when he was drafted by everybody in the Washington community, every single person. There isn't anybody I know who didn't want Chase Young to be that draft pick. Even though he never performed, we're going to have to replace him. So from my perspective, I have no idea, and I'm just looking at a team that I hope win seven games, and I'm not going to drink Kool-Aid, and I'm just going to kind of wait and see. What do you think?
Yeah, Jim, appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I think the thing is, you know, seven games is fine, and I think that's what is interesting here is this team is building for the long term. And so I don't necessarily disagree with you. We don't know. But when you look at what they've done they're building the correct way. And to me, we can dive into this a little bit more in the next segment. I'll give you a little bit deeper a philosophy on this. But when you talk about what they've done is they look at the most expensive positions. And, you know, people looked at what Adam Peters had done. And I don't know that I'd heard it as much. And I'm just sure that people were thinking this. You know, you remember his opening press conference. What did he talk about? He said, we're going to build through the draft and we're going to supplement through free agency. He was on Grant and Danny, Adam Peters was, and basically said that we're not going to go out on a spending spree. And then they went out and signed 20-some free agents. And I don't think he lied in either of those statements. I think they're still planning to build through the draft and supplement through free agency. And I think that they didn't go on a spending spree. But they did sign a large number. And to Jim's point, I don't know that they signed impact guys. There's a few. But what they did is they raised the floor of this football team to allow these guys to develop. I think Jaden Daniels is going to get a real chance to prove he's an NFL player. Why? Because as much as I don't think the offensive line is good, I think they have slightly improved it, if not just at the center position, which is going to help him immensely. I think they've brought in some talent defensively that's going to allow you to evaluate an Emmanuel Forbes. I think what they've done is they've allowed these guys to play at a higher level. In turn, what they're also going to do is they're going to build a culture in that building where guys are showing up at 5:45 in the morning like Jaden Daniels. And so now you've got guys working harder, and so much times, you know, the difference in these buildings, they're drafting and they're picking from the same talent pools, and they all have the same salary cap. Yes, there's a difference in the talent for the Commanders team to like a Ravens team up the road, but it's maybe not as big as you think. What's the difference? It's the coaching, it's the work ethic, it's the cohesion, it's the chemistry, it's all those things that can propel a team. And so to me, what you're seeing in Washington is, and I think there's going to be people that surprise people this year with the steps that they're about the Commanders head coach, Dan Quinn. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also tweet at me at @Toby_Altizer. Has your opinion changed of Dan Quinn since he was hired, or any of the coaching staff since they were hired? 800-636-1067. Let's get out to the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Mitch is in New Jersey. Mitch, what's going on?
Hey, Toby. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, what's going on, Mitch?
It is. It's going so fast. Game one be here before you know it.
I know. Crazy.
I'm going on to Mr. Quinn. Remember, I think it was Shanahan kind of lost that Super Bowl. And plus, he also went on to lose two more to Mahomes. I like Cliff. I would love to see an offensive guy because Washington's got a good set of running backs, especially. And they got themselves a quarterback. I think this guy's for real. Looking forward to it. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think with Quinn, you know, I'm interested to see how he does in his first year with the team. But I think, like I said in the previous segment, that they're building something here and they've done a really good job of working on some of that cohesion. But one of the things that stands out to me is the number of guys that have respectability to them that they've brought over. And I laid that out previously. But you talk about Cliff Kingsbury. And he's an interesting hire because of the guys that they brought in, like an Anthony Lynn, on board 100% in the role that he's brought in. Brian Johnson to help out with the quarterbacks, love it. Joe Witt Jr. coming over from Dallas with Quinn, love it. Like, so much of the stuff I'm big on. When I heard who the offensive coordinator was going to be, is very similar to the Dan Quinn reaction for me, almost a little bit worse than the Quinn reaction, because Quinn, to me, had like won some stuff. When I think of Kingsbury and think about what happened in Arizona, I kind of always thought they were a bit of a joke. Now, they would get off to some hot starts. They would get some things going. But at the same point, they would never win anything. They were like the first half Super Bowl winners, but they never did anything in the second half. And some of that's, you know, Kyler Murray and what he was able to do and various things. Not to say they didn't ever have any success. Like, I remember watching, I believe it was a Thursday night game while I was covering the Packers out in Milwaukee, and they were playing the Cardinals, and the Cardinals at that point were like 6-7-0. So it's not to say that they had no success, but I just wasn't a fan. And I didn't necessarily like Cliff Kingsbury's offense in Arizona. It just was underwhelming to me. But to me, a big part of this, when you think about hiring a defensive coach, is you need to find an offensive guy that isn't going to leave you right away, right? It's a big part of why when you hire that defensive guy, that offensive coordinator spot now becomes the most important spot on the coaching staff. Who are you going to hire that can come in and work with your new quarterback? You're especially thinking when you've got a rookie quarterback coming in. Who can you hire to bring in that can help out the quarterback, that can be a good mentor, a good developer? But also, you don't want them to just leave after 1 year. Like, the Texans got lucky in a little bit, in a couple of ways, in that they bring DeMeco Ryans in, and he does a fantastic job in his first year as head coach. And they have a young offensive coordinator in Bobby Slowick, but he just didn't feel like he was ready to be a head coach yet, or he wasn't viewed as being 100% ready to be a head coach yet. And so now they're going to have the benefit of at least the first 2 years of C.J. Stroud's career being with the same offensive coordinator. You can try to go get some other young guy from an organization or promote from within or whatever to be the offensive coordinator with Jaden Daniels, but you would run the risk of losing a guy. And when you think about Cliff Kingsbury and his track record is that he can help develop quarterbacks. Now, I'd argue that some of those quarterbacks that we like to throw under Cliff Kingsbury were developed more under other coaches. But regardless, I think with Cliff Kingsbury, you get a guy that was a former quarterback, can work with quarterbacks. And when I was out there at mini camps, he was working directly with the quarterbacks. He wasn't just, you know, obviously he's coordinating the whole offense, but specifically when the rest of the team is going through warm-ups and get everything, and they're having quarterbacks do their own specific thing, who's running all that stuff, and right there in their ear is that's Cliff Kingsbury. So he's clearly going to be very, very involved with the quarterbacks, and then maybe that's also why you bring in a guy like an Anthony Lynn, so that Cliff Kingsbury can be a little bit more focused on strictly the quarterbacks and let some of the other people handle everything else that's going on. But he's going to help develop Jaden Daniels. And the other thing, too, they can have a really good offense this year, Max. You know, I'm not saying anything crazy like top five, but say they have a top 12 offense or something like that with Jaden Daniels in his rookie year. I don't think Cliff's getting a head coaching job anywhere. Not to say maybe he doesn't get at least talked about a little bit, but Ben Johnson's still on the top of that list. Some other guys, like say Bobby Slowick has another good year in Houston. I think he's above Cliff Kingsbury. People are going to want to try some of these guys for the first time versus going back to the quote-unquote retread of Cliff Kingsbury. And so I think one thing that is good about this hire, and really, frankly, the one thing that would be worrying at least a little bit, is it has, to me, nothing to do with his actual offense, is the fact that he's not going to be gone. There's going to be continuity, in my opinion, at least, for the first 2 years of Jaden Daniels' career. He's going to have the same offensive coordinator. He's going to have the same system in place. And hopefully, he can work with some of these receivers and some of these weapons and specifically some of these young guys and get them integrated in the offense, and you have at least a little bit of continuity for Jaden Daniels. Because you want to know something that could be just horrible for some of these people? Think about Matt Eberflus being kept over in Chicago, and what happens if they suck again this year and they fire Eberflus and the whole staff. Caleb Williams in a second offense in 2 years, really his third and three, because you have to go back from learning a whole new offense from college to the NFL. So a third and three. Versus if you're Jaden Daniels, you're coming in here, you're working hard to know a system. He doesn't have to do that same sort of thing the next year. Instead, he's building off of what he did the previous year. Building off of what he did his rookie year going into the following year with this system. Not to say that it's any better second to third year having to turn over and learn a new system, but it's at least a little bit easier because then you have some continuity from your first to second year. You're starting to understand stuff at the pro level a little bit better. You know, that transition from college to the NFL is a big one. It's a big one. And it's not just on the field, it's off the field. It's learning the system. It's learning the cadences. His offseason between his rookie and second year, he's going to take so much. He's going to learn so much more and be able to dive so much deeper because he's going to have an understanding that he didn't have stepping into this year. And it has nothing to do with Jaden Daniels and being a a bad quarterback or anything. It's just you learn so much when you've finally gone through it one time. And so I think you look at the guys like a C.J. Stroud, even a Bryce Young. I think Bryce Young could have a solid year this year because he's going to be able to build off of all the bad that happened last year, but he's going to be able to take that next step. You look at Stroud. He was good last year. Imagine what he can do this year when he understands how defenses started playing him and little tweaks he needs to make here and different things that he can learn deeper into the playbook, more stuff they can throw on his plate. I like the fact that there's going to be some continuity for Jaden Daniels from his first to second year with Cliff Kingsbury. 800-636-1067. Let's get out to the phone lines. Let's get out to Jim, who is in Tysons. Jim, what's going on?
Well, first of all, I love your program. I think you do a fantastic job.
Thanks, Jim.
I think from my perspective, we have no idea. We're going to have our second consecutive head coach who took a team to a Super Bowl, which is, you know, no one can compare, I think, Ron, to what we have now. But I'm just saying we have a offensive coordinator who people aren't coming in really raving about the talents. They're talking about different things. I heard you mention about developing quarterbacks, but we really have no idea what we're going to get there. And honestly, you know, one thing, and maybe you know this answer, is one thing that I'm always fascinated about on the drafting from Adams Peters' position and other general managers is what percentage of top five, like first five, fifth rounders and up, what percentage of those drafts just league-wide are on the team after 3 years? Because I've heard a lot of folks talk about what he's added and all the things, but we've lost things too. We've lost things through free agency. We lost a receiver. We lost an excellent defensive lineman, Chase Young, who was really unanimous decision many years ago when he was drafted by everybody in the Washington community, every single person. There isn't anybody I know who didn't want Chase Young to be that draft pick. Even though he never performed, we're going to have to replace him. So from my perspective, I have no idea, and I'm just looking at a team that I hope wins seven games, and I'm not going to drink Kool-Aid, and I'm just going to kind of wait and see. What do you think?
Yeah, Jim, appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I think the thing is, you know, seven games is fine, and I think that's what is interesting here is this team is building for the long term. And so I don't necessarily disagree with you. We don't know. But when you look at what they've done, they're building the correct way. And to me, we can dive into this a little bit more in the next segment. I'll give you a little bit deeper philosophy on this. But when you talk about what they've done is they look at the most expensive positions. And, you know, people looked at what Adam Peters had done. And I don't know that I'd heard it as much. And I'm just sure that people were thinking this. You know, you remember his opening press conference, what did he talk about? He said, we're going to build through the draft and we're going to supplement through free agency. He was on Grant and Danny, Adam Peters was, and basically said that we're not going to go out on a spending spree. And then they went out and signed 20-some free agents. And I don't think he lied in either of those statements. I think they're still planning to build through the draft and supplement through free agency. And I think that they didn't go on a spending spree. But they did sign a large number. And to Jim's point, I don't know that they signed impact guys. There's a few. But what they did is they raised the floor of this football team to allow these guys to develop. I think Jaden Daniels is going to get a real chance to prove he's an NFL player. Why? Because as much as I don't think the offensive line is good, I think they have slightly improved it, if not just at the center position, which is going to help him immensely. I think they've brought in some talent defensively that's going to allow you to evaluate an Emmanuel Forbes. I think what they've done is they've allowed these guys to play at a higher level. In turn, what they're also going to do is they're going to build a culture in that building where guys are showing up at 5:45 in the morning like Jaden Daniels. And so now you've got guys working harder. And so much times, you know, the difference in these buildings, they're drafting and they're picking from the same talent pools. And they all have the same salary cap. Yes, there's a difference in the talent for the Commanders team to like a Ravens team up the road, but it's maybe not as big as you think. What's the difference? It's the coaching. It's the work ethic. It's the cohesion. It's the chemistry. It's all those things that can propel a team. And so to me, what you're seeing in Washington is, and I think there's going to be people that surprise people this year with the steps that they can take. And you've already heard some of the guys. Aquan Martin is getting rave reviews from the coaching staff. And that's a holdover from the previous regime. That's a second-round pick from the previous regime. I think you're going to start seeing some guys maybe take some steps that you didn't see with the previous regime. Why? Because they're going to be put in a better spot. The coaches are going to understand how to use them. And so to me, I'm excited to see those things. I'm excited to see how they've built this thing and how they coach it up. But it doesn't mean they have to win right away. To Jim's point, we don't know. Right now, we're making assumptions. I'm assuming. But what I'm seeing right now is things that I've seen in other organizations from afar that have led to success. And what I like is we haven't seen those things implemented here. And now they're starting to be implemented here. And so they're going to be put in a position to succeed. Maybe they don't. There's still a chance they go out this year and they have the number two overall pick again next year. There's definitely that possibility. They're probably not winning the Super Bowl this year. So we understand there's a range of possibilities here, but we're probably not seeing a Lombardi in a parade in D.C. next year. But it's okay because what I'm seeing is I'm seeing steps that could lead down that road that I've seen other teams take that led them to lifting a Lombardi. And so it gives me hope that this team can get there. Even if it's not this year, they're building it so that in 2025, we feel even better. In 2026, we're talking about the playoffs. In 2027, we're talking about going deep in the playoffs. In 2028, you're talking about hopefully a Super Bowl run. Like, you're building towards something, and that's something I don't know that we could say in years before about this team. Let's take a break. I want to dive into that a little bit more. We're going to get into Terry McLaurin on Scott Van Pelt with him on SportsCenter. I want to hear what he had to say. But I want to dive into that just a little bit deeper in terms of Adam Peters said that he wanted to build through the draft, supplement through free agency. I think he's done a really good job of that. And it's going to come down to how they continue to draft. And we look back at how they drafted. I feel really good about it. But how did he do that this offseason? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.